Good morning, everyone. Well, let me just say, it is so heartwarming to be able to see some faces back in the pews. And again, welcome for those of you who are at home. I don't know about you, but I love to garden. I have gardens all around my home. I have gardens in the front of my house, at the back of my house, on both sides of my house. And I can spend hours upon hours around my house working in the gardens. I love to see the trees and the plants, the flower, vegetables, and all sorts of spices grow in abundance. But for some people, gardening is just work, a lot of work. But for me, it is a labor of love. And plants need a lot of love and TLC. And I'm not shy to say, I have a green thumb and a whole lot of love to give to my gardens. Here's a side view, my house, the front. Let me get some flowers right there. Everything's coming up right now, really beautiful. I have two children, my son Marc-André and my daughter Alexandra. My son, Marc-André, is not a big fan of gardening. He once told me, when he's getting a house, his backyard is going to be out of asphalt. My daughter, on the other hand, Alexandra, she is the one who has inherited my passion for gardening, and we work together very well when we garden. Digging, planting, transplanting, sharing flowers, vegetables, even showing off. She'll do on WhatsApp. She'll show me, look at my tomatoes, Dad. Look how we're doing. And I'll show her that I got 12 cucumbers this week. And we'll see what we have as our plants grow. The one thing that I cannot stand are weeds. I hate weeds. I hate weeds with a passion. I hate them in my lawn. I hate weeds in my garden. So I weed them out. I'll use mulch. I will get down on my knees and I will pull, I will pluck, I will cut, and I will dig them out. No weeds allowed at my place. Point final. And I make sure of it. And my gardens look beautiful. Which brings me to today's story of the wheat and the weeds. Now, at first glance, this parable seems simple enough. And I think most of us could interpret it this way. That the sower is God, and he sows good seeds. And of course, the good seeds are the people. And then the enemy comes and puts the weeds, which are bad, among the good ones. And so the problem is, what should we do? The first response that comes is from the laborers that are working in the field. And they say, Master, how come? What happened? You planted seeds and nothing but weeds come out. And then they say, okay, that's okay. We'll just do what Deacon Marco does. We'll go out there and we'll weed them all out. And then we'll be back to where we started. But the master of the harvest says no, because they are planted so close together. And this kind of weed is a darnel, and it looks very much like wheat. And you might start pulling up all the good wheat along with the weed. So let them both grow together, and let them come to terms at harvest. And then we will take the weeds, and we'll bundle them up and burn them in the fire. And then we'll gather the wheat and put it into my barn. This interpretation usually means that in our world, there are good people and there are bad people. And of course, the wheat are the good people. They are well behaved. They are part of what the owner wants done in his field. And the bad guys, of course, are the weeds. And I think Most of us hope to be among the wheat gathered in his barn rather than the wheat, than the weeds that comes on Judgment Day. Now, this could sound like a very simple solution, but it's a very bad simple solution because it seems to isolate people who are good from the bad. The wheat, they're the very nice, they're the good, and they represent the best of our community. And of course, the bad guys. We all know the bad guys, those weeds. And we are good at pointing out the bad guys from the good guys. And then it becomes us versus them. Us versus the world. But is that it? Are some of us good and others bad? And there's no hope for those who are bad? Unfortunately, we have the habit of doing this in all walks of life. Our friends are the good guys, those people who threaten us against what we believe or what we think are the bad guys. This week, while I was doing my gardening, I was trimming the hedges around my house, and there I found amongst my hedge, right in the middle, was a maple tree growing there. Now, I bet you all can agree with me that a maple tree is not a weed. But a maple tree growing in the middle of my honeysuckle hedge, that's a problem because it doesn't belong there. And hence, it is bad. So, I had to remove it. And I did. I cut it out. You see what I mean? We get into a world which seems to be very plain to see, that we can recognize the good guys from the bad guys. The good guys love us. The bad guys do not. The good guys never take advantage of us, but the bad guys always will. We can trust a good guy. We cannot trust a bad guy. And then it becomes very cut and dry solution. But if we are to dig a little deeper into this parable, think about it. If this parable was as simple as that, this would put Jesus in a very difficult position. Because when we read the Gospels carefully, Jesus is still very interested in those weeds, those so-called bad guys. And I'll even say he is more interested in the bad guys than the good guys. Now, this might sound strange to you, but it's true. Jesus said that the weeds are the children of the evil one when he explains the parable. But in reality, is that we are all sinners and we are subject to sin. We all have the tendency to be weed-like. And we are all in need of redemption. And Jesus came to offer us that redemption. In reality, we all have the capacity for good. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Thus, we can all be redeemed. But inherently, original sin means that we all have the tendency to sin. Capacity for good, but tendency to sin. Hence, we need a Savior. So the weeds are important to God. Let me share a couple of examples for you. One is the one of the Good Shepherd, where he leaves the 99 up on the hilltop all by himself in search of that little sheep who's smarter than everyone else, runs off on his own because he's doing whatever he wants to do. But the shepherd searches for him diligently, searches for his lost sheep. And when he finally brings him back, he puts him on his shoulder. And what does the shepherd do? He celebrates with a party. Another famous story is the woman who's thrown before Jesus' feet. She's the one that was accused of adultery. And Moses' law says, adulterers, women only, of course, must be executed. But Jesus says this very simple thing. He says, yes, that is what the law says. Okay, he who has not sinned at all, he can throw that first stone. You see, these men, they're good. Why? Because they dropped their stones and they realized how stupid and unfair and awful it is. This is the kind of turning point in which maybe religious people in general learn a great lesson. Jesus hung around with the riffraff, the weeds of society. Why? Because he wanted us to know that the weeds of society are gold in his Father's eyes. Now we can end the parable right here, but I'd like to take it one step further. Let's dig a little deeper. You see, we have to get personal with this story because we're talking about people, not weeds. So we need to see these people with the same eyes as God does. Try to imagine the scenario. And there is God up in heaven, and he's witnessing this terrible event. It's about his son hanging on a cross. And as he looks down, he is contemplating. And this, according to Charles Peguy's poem, and I'll read it part of it to you. And these are God's words according to the poem. Why this? Why has he done this? Here is my son. A father has a right to bury his own son, but I cannot because my arms are tied. A father has a right to go to his son's wedding, not his funeral. But here I am, witnessing the death of my son. And the worst of it, here I am, God Almighty, full of justice and righteousness, fair all the time, and my son approves. But then, I am also a God of mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. And now I have a choice. Is it the arm of justice or the arm of mercy that I must bring to this outrage on the death of my son? And then my son turns and says to me, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. End the poem. God could have eradicated all the weeds at that one moment. But because his son was willing to lay down his life down in this terrible way for the salvation of the world. For God so loved the world, weeds and all, that he gave up his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And that is what this parable is all about, that the weeds and the wheat are somewhat indistinguishable from each other. And Jesus loved the weeds, and he came to save the weeds and turn them into wheat. So I will end this with an invitation. God wants to turn your heart from a garden which is overgrown with weeds to a beautiful, tenderly loved garden. What weeds exist in your heart? Judgment of others? Addiction to anger? Laziness? Loss of hope? Worry? Let Jesus the constant gardener, show you the weeds in your heart and tenderly remove them so you can find your soul at peace and ready to meet him at the end of time, face to face. Amen.